December, and this morning we are talking shop with Bill McCauley. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Bill.
Thanks, Bill. How'd I do? Am I hired?
Oh, man. You're in for another 15 years, whether you want to be or not. Oh, yeah. Good morning, everybody.
Guess who was the first one in the studio?
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's just because I wanted to get you the water.
Exactly.
Because I'm a great guy.
You are more than a great guy. You're a great big guy.
Yeah. Ooh. Comes with the territory. All right, smart guy. Here we go. You ready?
Maybe.
Bucket shop I don't recognize, so we're not going to do it. Bulldoze. Where do we get the origin of the term bulldoze?
Well, I don't know. I'm assuming it relates to the bovine species, but I don't know.
What a guy.
How about that?
What a guy. The term was originally bulldoze, D-O-S-E, and meant a dose of whipping sufficient for a bull. Bull, okay. It was applied in this country to the whippings of vigilantes, gave slaves seeking office during the Reconstruction period after the Civil War. Okay. The term was later applied to persons using duress, and from this idea of pushing others around, bulldoze then became associated with the machine, doing the same.
Interesting.
Convoluted way, but yeah, now we know about now caterpillar.
I didn't see that really
happening.
Coming together exactly the way that did. So that's interesting.
I mean, yeah.
Continues to be. That's a good book, Brian. I think I need a book like that because I'm not very interesting without one.
Yeah, so yeah.
Open the book and read when I have conversations with people. You're a wise man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I suppose you're beginning to do the countdown now, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is anybody counting along with you, or has the passing of President Bush kind of put a focus in a different area and everything's just kind of in a state of stasis right now?
Yeah, well, I think there is a technical corrections bill with some other tax provisions in Congress. The House pulled it back, I think, last week. I don't think they had doing some vote counting and whatnot. I think they were concerned about the timing of when it was. So we'll see if that comes forward. Candidly, I don't even really know what's in it. At this point, I'm just kind of waiting to see. We're still trying to figure out what they did last year. And how to apply it.
I'm on last decade, so you're so far ahead. Yeah.
So yeah, it's can you believe it's December? I mean, it's just, to me, it's
what
years just fly by.
It's December.
I'm just astounded that it's December, and so.
Yeah, I think as we have a longer horizon in the rear view than we do in the front window.
Yeah.
I want to make a U-turn. That's my goal, make a U-turn and go back a couple of years.
I think the best you can hope for is to put yourself in a position mentally where time doesn't go as fast. And I think that means we just have to be more in the present. And I don't mean that like in really any deep way. I just mean that you know, it's really easy to...
Oh, I thought that was a Christmas reference.
Yeah.
Be in the presence.
Yeah, could be. It'd probably be a better way of saying it. But I mean, I think, I mean, we get into our busy season, which starts in, the middle of January. And it's really tempting for me to just kind of wish that 3 months away in my own life. You know, it's like, I just can't wait to be done with it. But if you do that, there's a quarter of the year you just wished away. I'm working on my attitude.
You're waxing nostalgic for a guy who shouldn't be that old.
Well, I'm trying to be, I'm not very deep. So.
Did I get you on that one?
Yeah.
Jeez.
I'm not a very deep person, but I'm trying to at least.
But you're broad. That's
exactly.
Okay.
I'm like a big, very, very shallow mud puddle that you step into and you just disturb a little dirt, but it doesn't get your it doesn't get over the top of the rubber part of your shoes. So.
Oh, geez. So is there anything exciting going on at the state levels we got to be paying attention to?
Yeah, the state's been doing a little bit. There's a little bit going on at the state level.
They're not aligning with the feds, are they?
Well, interestingly, in November, there were some groups meeting who are who are related to California conformity issues. And so they were, you know, naturally in November of this year, they're starting to think about that, which I'm thinking maybe they're a little late to the party. But
oh, I was impressed it was that early. Sorry.
Yeah, well, anyway, they do. The Franchise Tax Board has an annual conformity meeting with a bunch of constituent groups, and they listen and they come back and make comments. But ultimately, the Franchise Tax Board has, you know, the responsibility of administering tax collection in the state of California, income tax collection. But some of this stuff, if you're going to make changes, would be legislative, require legislative action too. And so I think the most likely thing, if California complies with some of the things in the last tax law, is they'll comply with anything that enhances revenue and probably not comply with the other things. But unfortunately, they could do some balancing and make it, you know, in kind of comply in a more revenue-neutral way, and they could get closer.
Revenue-neutral? Does that mean payment-neutral on our end?
Yeah, theoretically, or at least, I mean, the problem is any change is going to affect, it doesn't affect people equally, right?
Well, I'm thinking, does France mean anything to you?
France?
Yeah, what was it, a 5% increase?
Yeah, don't poke
the
bear
place
on France.
Explodes?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, at some point, there is that tipping point.
Seemingly, there is no tipping point in California.
Maybe we've tipped already? Oh. Yeah, no kidding. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
It's sounding like Christmas all over Easy Radio 980 AM and Curry 105.3 FM. It's all your favorite Christmas music all the time. Christmas music is yours 24 hours a day on 980 AM and Curry 105.3 FM. Bing, The Carpenters, America, and more contemporary singers like Dolly Parton, Kenny Rogers, Michael Bublé, and others. It's our kind of Christmas music on Easy Radio 980 AM and Curry 105.3 FM, the Christmas station. Tell your friends.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time, 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Bill McCauley, and I am in the studio.
You are.
How's that? Yeah. Pretty exciting stuff.
Yeah, it's pretty nice when I have to do my own lead-in.
Yeah, well, you know, but there's nobody there to check off your elaborate explanation of who you are.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's true. I was going to be pretty fantastic.
You could have seized that moment there, but, you know, I just kind of went through your fingers again.
Yeah, well, that's because I'm not that fantastic.
Yeah, short fingers, too.
Dang it. Yeah, little hands.
So the concept of the states trying to align with the feds.
Yeah.
You said that there was a little bit of traction going on there. And at this point, as I recall last month, for the taxpayer, we continue to compile the same amount of pile that we compiled last, kind of like compost, compile the pile that we had last year because the state's requirements haven't altered. Right. Is there any discussion, any movement that at this point we might not need to, or do we keep piling the pile?
Yeah, that's the Franchise Tax Board is talking to groups that are participants in the process, the Bar Association, CPA associations, and probably, I don't know, I'm not sure exactly who all was involved in the most recent meeting, but I know that California CPAs were representative, as well as the state bar. Probably the enrolled agent community was involved, represented as well. And, you know, they're looking at, there's progressively, and I don't mean that in terms of the political term we use, I just mean
evolutionary.
Over time, the divergence between California law and federal law has continued. There continues to be a larger and larger gulf between how things are calculated for California and how things are calculated from a tax standpoint for
Why?
Federal. Because California has has steadily refused to conform to certain provisions, typically those that would not enhance revenue. And so what happens is we get these differences between the computation that has to be made for federal purposes and the computation that has to be made for California.
Is there any state, and I don't know if you have, if you get the opportunity for tax preparations in all 50 or not?
Not all 50, no.
Okay. But in those that you do, is there anybody who's more aggressive or more punitive, depending on point of view, than California is regarding tax confiscation?
Yeah, California is up there. State of New York is
you hear about them.
You got city tax, and it depends where you reside. Anyway, the state of New York has some complexity to it, and they're good taxers. State of California is a good taxer. A lot of states' tax rate, income tax rates are considerably lower than California's. California can go up to 13.3% if you make certain levels of income, which to me, compared to maybe 5.5% or something in Illinois, that's a large difference. Now, I understand living in Illinois is different than living in California. We can understand that, and there's other structures. I'm sure I don't know enough about Illinois about how
base reference here.
And the problem, California's had this problem forever, at least for my career, which is that the income tax is such a big percentage of the revenue stream for California that fluctuations in income taxes is really creates major budgetary issues for the state of California. And the state has not done a good job of weaning itself of its dependence on the income tax. And the problem tends to be there's kind of a feast or famine in California, sometimes from an income tax perspective. And keep in mind, income tax is driven by income. And I know that's but we need to think about that concept. The more income that California residents derive, in general, the more revenue that the state's going to get. Well, in years where the stock market's doing well and the economy's doing well, the income, people's incomes tend to do well, and the resulting income tax collections are strong. In other years, when the stock market is in a down cycle, and people aren't trading and recognizing lots of gains in their securities portfolios, or the economy is otherwise not chugging along particularly well, and people aren't making money on real estate deals and other things where people are hunkered down in some cases. And what happens is incomes are lower, and therefore income taxes are lower. And so one of the things that Governor Brown did was tried to create a rainy day fund. I really don't know much about the mechanics of it, and I'm a little skeptical of the concept because it feels like whenever you create a rainy day fund, it doesn't feel to be there when the rainy day occurs. But maybe it will be, and I have no reason to believe it wouldn't. The point is, we have to set money aside. We have to do these things in California, because if you don't, the income stream is so variable and subject to economic conditions that the California can really be in a bad place. And then California will then take steps to try to ameliorate that, but they tend not to undo them when the bad times go away.
Right. Yeah, it's not a short-term fix.
Right.
Put that one in with concrete and mortar it up and leave your initials on it.
Yeah, even things that you would think might have been really temporary end up being kind of permanent.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit DecadeOfDifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 836. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with noted CPA Bill McCauley. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, REDEC, American Ag Credit, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, and along with Murphy's Markets. What kind of sense do you have, Bill, with the fires? The folks, I know there's been a lot of fundraising. Rotary's doing some stuff. I've got, we didn't make the news, but one of my radio buddies is in Taylorville, Illinois. There were some tornadoes on Sunday.
Oh, boy.
Right in the middle of the town. Boom, gone, yeah. Kind of thing. A lot of that kind of stuff going on. FEMA's there, okay, helping out. The states and the declarations and all that kind of stuff. But if you're impacted or your kid, say, going to Chico or Butte is impacted or Southern California, any of these things, what should you do or should you do anything as far as tax purposes to document the displacement, the losses, mm-hmm. any deductions, that kind of stuff that may be needed for the upcoming tax filing season?
Well, the first thing I would say is if you're in a position where you have suffered a loss because of a fire or any kind of natural disaster, particularly those that are presidentially declared disaster areas, and that California also has a designation. If it's a presidentially declared disaster area, there are some provisions of tax law that will allow you to recognize your loss sooner, as opposed to waiting until the year. So you may be able to accelerate your filing rather than waiting to file in the year where the loss actually occurred. So
okay, English on this one. You lost
my
me.
My point is rather than going in, I can beat those details to death, but my point is there are favorable provisions for the person with the loss to potentially advance the recognition of the loss to now to be able to file a return and pick up that loss and have the tax benefit come early.
So it's not an amended.
Well, it probably would be an amended return because presumably you've already filed a 2017 return.
Yeah.
So okay. The point is, and given where we are in the year for the Chico area Paradise fires, you know, I don't know what people are going to do. They're going to have to make their own decisions. My point is, if you're in a position where you or a loved one has a loss like that, and I know we all know. Of folks who've lost things, they need to get in touch with their tax preparer. If they don't have one, they need to get one and get some help with regard to that in terms of the record keeping and what should be done.
So it's a little bit more complicated than
it is. It's an area of law. Yes, they need to keep track of what their expenses are, what their costs are. They're also going to have to establish what their loss was on the property. There's a lot of complexity with regard to replacement of property, in terms of what their insurance policy has been written, in terms of whether, you know, most cases, you know, I know of a situation where somebody was older, was kind of ready to move into senior living or some other facility, house burns down, but now they're really basically for insurance purposes forced to rebuild, so they can have the insurance. And then they can sell that place and then move into anyway. So there's this phased thing that's going to have to occur because of this property loss, because they can't just take the insurance proceeds and run.
Now, what about the folks in Santa Rosa and Sonoma County from last year? Hmm. Is this what they should have done also?
This is what they have been doing. They've been dealing with these issues.
So they
and keep in mind, we know that, you know, from a practical standpoint, people are having a lot of people are having trouble getting things replaced, you know, with their insurance and having everything work. There's a lot of life lessons to be learned here, and it's a challenge. And you know, stepping the next step, what's going to happen to all of our insurance premiums? Because the insurance companies typically aren't in the business of taking losses that they don't get back.
Oh, I was thinking more PG&E.
Yeah. Yeah, PG&E is going to, yeah. What's going to happen with PG&E? Big question. You know, is PG&E either, they're either going to have substantial increases in rates.
I don't think the PUC is going to stand by for that one.
Well, then they'll be out of business. Or if they're held accountable for all these losses, they'll be out of business.
There must be another option.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe not yet defined.
Brian, I don't know. Yeah. But it's going to be, you know, somebody's going to pay, and it's usually us. So, you know, I mean, that's the advantage of insurance. You're spreading risk over a larger pool. But the risk is growing, apparently, of wildfire in California. And, you know, without going into the where's and why for's, of why this risk seems to be exploding, the point is it is there. And I think, you know, people in counties where they're particularly vulnerable to wildfire, I think they're going to be seeing insurance rates that are going to change.
Did that happen in Oregon with the fire 2 years ago? There's going to be that coming around the corner.
Absolutely.
This year as well.
Yeah. People are looking. And if you're building, you know, it's one thing if you're building in the middle of Eugene or Grants Pass, but if you're out in Merlin in the hills, you know, that country's burned a couple times. You know, you think about where the Biscuit fire was. Some of the this year's fire, the Klondike fire, burned into the Biscuit, and that had grown up enough that there was plenty of fuel there. And so
there's some trends going on here.
There are.
Yes. Yeah. KINS News and Information Time.
Hey, Humboldt County. The folks at Fly Humboldt want to say thank you for all your support. The new Los Angeles flight is a great success. The planes have been full, so book now for your holiday travel. Don't miss getting a flight home for the holidays. And just in case you haven't heard, we'll have direct flights to Denver starting June 7th. You'll only be a couple hours away from the Mile High City whenever you want to go. This makes connecting to the world even easier. Get more information at flyhumboldt.org or email us at info@flyhumboldt.org. Happy holidays.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:46. Final little bit with Mr. McCauley. So with what we know, with what you know, with what I'm asking, anything different that we need to be paying attention to next couple of weeks that we haven't had to in the past, the exceptionals?
Well, you know, the it depends on your circumstances. Last year, between Christmas and New Year's, I called a big percent or emailed because some people were gone, and so I tried to reach as many of my clients as I could after the passage of last year's tax law. Because what I found is about half of my clients had some things that I thought they should do before year end to try to take advantage of one-time opportunities with the new tax law. Now what we get is kind of the flip side of that, because what happens is, as an example, some of those folks, I said, you know, I think you should pay the second half of your property taxes before December 31st, because looking forward into this current year, I don't think you're going to get the same amount of benefit. So what we did was we tried to bunch some things. And I think we're now in a mode where bunching is the way of the future for people who itemize their deductions. So people are.
So it's kind of like an accordion, isn't it? Because either once you do it, you're always doing it, or then you have the year that you don't.
I think in most cases, you have the year you don't, year you do. And you do the same thing, technically, with your charitable contributions. That creates a real problem, though. If I look at it from my own standpoint, saying I shouldn't give anything in the year I'm not itemizing, and then I should double down in the following year, well, that's pretty tough for
others' cash flows, yeah.
And most of us make our charitable contributions not because of a tax benefit. That's a nice add-on. But the fact is, most of our charitable contributions, I think, is because we personally believe that organization,
the cause of the mission,
has a cause or a mission that we want to support. We want to be part of it, and the way we can be part of it without spending, you know, our time is to give some of our treasure. And so it's an interesting question when you start looking at this, but bunching is the way to go if you can do it. And people are going to bunch with their health. People who have large health expenses, you're going to try to bunch those between years, particularly when you have large expenses coming due at the end of 1 year. You may look ahead and say, we're not going to itemize this year. We'll push. You know, we'll pay everything next year so that we can hopefully get benefit in the following year. So I do think that's the way for a lot of people to function. So a lot of those folks who I was calling last year saying, hey, I think you need to pay your property taxes, they're calling me now going, should I do that again? And I said, no. You know, you're probably not. We tried to really get benefit last year, but no, this year we're going to pass, and maybe next year we'll try to bunch again to see if we can get enough to get out of the standard deduction.
What about year-end acquisition of assets?
Want to get those things done before year-end. If you're purchasing new computers, you need to get them and have them available for service. You can't just order them and then say, I'll pay for them in January. You can't pay for them in December and have them delivered in January. So you want to make sure that technically they should be placed in service. Certainly they should be available for service.
Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
Merry ho-hos.
Yeah, it's December.
Yeah, see everybody tomorrow.